Thank you so much for coming out. Take your Bible, Psalm 1. Psalm 1, good to be here. Back in this part of the country. It's a little bit warmer in Oklahoma, I can tell you that right now, and a little bit flatter in Oklahoma. And to get back to see the mountains around here is wonderful. And thank you so much, preacher, for allowing me to come. Good to have my sister and my brother-in-law here, Melody and Dave Bobbitt. Right, wave your hands right back there. They just moved to the East Coast. They live in Delaware, so they drove 4 hours to come hear me preach, of course. And but anyway, it's good to have her down here. And they're trying to surprise me. I'm going to have to preach on lying. The preacher called my room. He says, what's your room number? Brother Moore wants to know. Brother Moore could care less about my room number. It was my sister he was trying to get the room number for, but he lied to me, and so I want to preach on lying tonight. And, of course, it all depends on what the love offering's like. If the love offering is good, we'll just leave the lying alone. Amen? And but anyway, it's good to be here. Thank you so much. Many of you have been asking me how the church is doing. It's doing wonderful. And you say, how do you know the devil's fighting? That's how I know. And people are getting saved. It's exciting watching young Christians grow. Have a man in my church that led to Christ. He always sits on this side of the auditorium. He's about a year older than me, but he looks about 10 years older than me. Sin's kind of run him over. Knocked on his door a few months ago, and he has tattoos everywhere. I end up leading him to Christ. He used to collect money. You can figure that one out later on. And he's told me some stories. He had long hair, just a rough character. And he started coming to church, and one Sunday morning he comes in, and his wife's there, and I didn't realize. I said, who'd you bring with you? She goes, it's my husband. I said, no, it's not. He cut his hair. And he keeps on coming. Then he comes in a suit, coat, and tie. I'm thinking, man, what in the world is... So he took a picture of himself in a suit, coat, and tie, and short hair, and put it on Facebook. His old buddies called him up and said, Don, what's going on? He said, a preacher came by my house and told me how to get saved. He said, I got saved. He says, I'm a new Don. He says, I'm not the same old Don that you know. He says, Jesus saved me. Been coming to church Sunday morning and Sunday night. It's just exciting watching him grow. Got another guy that sits over here, led to Christ. He's a gangster from California, moved out to Oklahoma City, comes to church every Sunday morning. I always sit him by my troubled teenagers. Amen. And I said, your job, Jerron, is to sit right. He said, I can take care of him. I said, please do. And they don't talk back with him. He's a big boy. And, he just kind of sets them straight. One of them started to give him a little bit of lip, so he just dragged him outside, pulled up a shirt. He said, let me show you some bullet holes, some stab wounds that I used to have. He says, you're going there. He says, you'll get this. You just won't make it, though. I said, all right, that'll sermon will preach. But anyway... And so he kind of helps me out. But it's exciting. It really is, seeing people saved and baptized, watching their lives change. And I'm excited to be a part of the Lord's work. The best thing a person could ever do is serve the Lord. Everything else is sideshow. We just do it just to make it through so we can get here and go keep people out of hell. Psalm 1, if you haven't, let's all stand as we read the Word of God. Good to see my good friend, Brother Ian Bowden, over here. Preached for him years ago out in the left coast. In Lompoc, California, right? I say it right? And good to see him here again, and good friend of mine. He says, don't look at me, Brother Domley, when you're preaching. And but the whole sermon's about him tonight, but just kidding you. And but it's good to see him. Psalm 1, if you haven't, give me a good strong amen. Amen. Okay, I think the ladies have it. Let's try that again. If you haven't, give a good strong amen. Amen. There you go. Scripture says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of what? Nor sitteth in the seat of the who? Scornful. But his delight is in the law of the who? Lord. And in his law doth he what? Meditate what? Day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. The ungodly are not what? So, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Notice this next verse. For the Lord what? Knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Tonight I'm not going to take a long time. You say, what does that mean? It means we're going to be here for a long time. When preachers say that, you get nervous. When they say we're going to preach a long one, it's a short one. When they say we're going to preach short, they preach long. So I'm just letting y'all know just a little bit. But I want to speak tonight on the subject, when you don't know which way to go. When you don't know which way to go. You ever been there? Where your world is turned upside down and you don't know which way to go in life. I want to talk to you about that tonight. Father, allow me to help your people. Dear Holy Ghost of God, I'm asking you to come down in mighty power. Lord, this is just another meeting if we preach a sermon. Lord, it can truly be a Holy Ghost revival if what you've given to me turns into a message from heaven. Lord, that's what I desire tonight, is to help your people. Lord, would you allow me to be a help? Would you speak to us? Lord, encourage some people, help some people tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Everybody is one phone call away from the world being turned upside down. You may be going pretty good right now, but just hold on. Your day's coming. You say, Brother Donnelly, I don't think you ought to talk like that. I don't like preachers of doom. I'm not a preacher of doom. I'm a preacher of reality, that life is not always fun all the time. Sometimes you do have heartache inside of life. And to think that you can skate through this world without heartache you're living in la-la land. Somewhere you got to wake up and understand that troubles do come. And sometimes when those troubles come, you're not sure which way to go. The doctor comes and says you got cancer. You're not sure which way to go. Your wife walks in and says, I'm done with you, and she walks out. You're not sure which way to go. You come home from church, ma'am, and your husband walks out and says, I'm done with this marriage. You're not sure which way to go. Your child comes to you and says, I'm tired of this lifestyle. I want to let you know that I'm not what you think I am. I'm a sodomite. They don't use that word. I'm gay, and I don't care what you say. Your world's turned upside down. You see, I could go through story after story, and your preacher knows what I'm talking about, that people, they come home, and we don't expect it, and then all of a sudden, our world is turned upside down. We're uncertain of what's going to happen tomorrow. Finances get tight, and we're trying to figure out, how am I going to pay my next bill? Just don't know which way to go. The psalmist in Psalm 1, we begin to read the psalms, and he looks at it, and I like what the psalmist does. When the troubles come, the very first word he said is blessed. Can I just stop right there and say this? The psalmist realized that he was blessed not in spite of the circumstances that he had. Can I go a step further? He even realized that he was blessed in spite of the uncertainty of days. He realized that he was blessed in spite of enduring all the battles that he had. Why? Because you're not blessed. Get this. You are blessed. I am blessed not because, get this now, of how good I am, but I'm blessed because of how good God is. I'm not blessed tonight because of who I am. I'm blessed because of who God is. I'm not blessed because of what I can do. I'm blessed because of what God can do. And somewhere we've got to understand that we're not blessed because of who I am, what I can do, how much power I have. I'm blessed tonight, ladies and gentlemen, whether life is good or whether life is bad. I'm blessed because I'm a child of God and I have a God who lives inside of my heart. We often think that we're blessed because of us. I got news for you. You're not blessed because of you. And at some point, you need to get over yourself, because God will help you get over yourself if that's what you think. The only reason why we even have anything tonight is because of a God tonight who's a merciful God. A God tonight who looks down from heaven and says, you know what? I think I'll bless them. Why? Because he loves us. You say, preacher, then what do I do when I don't know what to do? The psalmist said, he said, I stopped and I looked around and I realized I'm blessed. I look at this crowd tonight. We're blessed tonight. So how do you know? You drove a car here tonight. Everybody, I imagine, in this room ate a meal tonight. Somebody say amen. Hey, you had food. You have shoes on your feet tonight. You have a roof over your head. You have air conditioning to keep you cool. You have a family that loves you. You have a Bible to read. You have a church to go to. You live in America. You're pretty blessed. You got money inside your checking account. I'm saying tonight, if you lived on the streets, may I just tell you, you're still blessed. Why? Because you're saved tonight. You're on your way to heaven. And somewhere God's people have just got to say, hey, I'm a pretty blessed man. Why? Because of my God. I get tired of these Eeyore Christianity type of Christians that walk around, have a cloud over their head, always complaining about how bad they have it. No, we have it a whole lot better than a lot of other countries. You ought to thank God you wasn't born in Afghanistan. Somebody say amen right there. You're born in the greatest nation of all. Sometimes I think we let the news media dictate what we think about America. Let me tell you something. God's been good to America, and we better understand that. We're blessed tonight. But the psalmist, he comes down to the last verse in Psalm 1, and he shows us what we need to do when we come to times when we don't know what to do. I want you to circle a few words tonight. Look at verse 6, he says, for the Lord. Let me just remind you tonight, circle the words, the Lord. And I want you to put this beside it, omniscient God. Omniscient God. If you have a King James Bible, that Lord is all caps. That's Jehovah God. That's the all-powerful God. That's the God that hung the sun in the sky. That's the God that has the moon up in the sky right now. That's the God that keeps the stars in their place. That's the God that gave us trees to look at. That's the God that gave us a river to drink from. That's the God that gave us flowers to be able to that'll bloom. That's the God that gives us animals that we can kill and eat. That's the God that gives us everything we have. That's the omnipotent God. May I tell you tonight, hey, when you don't know what to do, you still have a Jehovah God. God, an omnipotent God on your side. Our problem is we run to Facebook instead of Jehovah God. We run to Instagram and Snapchat to tell everybody about our problems when you ought to run to the omnipotent God and realize, hey, when I don't know which way to go, there's still the Lord. You see, he's the God that parted the Red Seas. He's the God that knocked down the walls of Jericho. He's the God that killed a Goliath. He's the God that delivered Israel from Egypt. He's the God that raised the dead to life. He's the God that caused the deaf to hear. He's the God that made the lame to walk. He's the God that paid your debt for hell and saved your soul from hell. I'm talking omnipotent, omnipotent God who can do everything. I'm talking Jehovah God. The truth is tonight, if all we have, if God just stopped in verse 6, when he said, for the Lord, if that's all we had, we're blessed. You see, your need in life is not alcohol. Your need in life is the Lord. Your need in life is not legalized marijuana. Your need in life is the Lord. Somebody say amen on that one right there. Your need tonight is not anything else. Hey, your need tonight, wherever your need tonight is to look up to God and realize, I have an all-powerful God tonight. Let's go on. You see, his presence, and it's interesting, When you see the Lord, you see his omnipotence and you see your weakness. When you see the Lord, you see his righteousness and you see your unrighteousness. I can always tell when someone's coming back to God, when they're coming back from a life of sin, is when they begin to see how depraved they are and how righteous God is. But as long as they're pointing their finger at everyone else, Brother Freeman, I know one thing. They've not yet come back to God. Why? They're still pointing their fingers. They've not come back to God, because when you come to God, you see his righteousness, you see your depravity, you see how bad you are, and may I tell you, that's the first step of coming back to God. The Lord. Omnipotence. Then he says, the Lord knoweth. Circle the word knoweth. Put this beside it. Omniscient God. Omniscient God. What do I do when I don't know what to do, where to go? I tell you what I do. I realize I have an omnipotent God. I realize that I also have an omniscient God, get this now, who knows what I'm facing right now. A week ago yesterday, 4:00 in the morning, Sunday morning, my phone rings. It was one of my dear ladies in the church, and she calls me up. She goes, Brother Domley. She goes, my grandson, you just witnessed him a few months ago, was shot and killed this morning. One time in the head, back of the head, and 9 times in his back. What do you say when that happens? The only thing I could tell her, I said, Miss Joyce, I don't know, I can't tell you that I know what you're going through. But I know an omniscient God who absolutely knows what's going on inside your heart right now. You may feel like you're on a little island by yourself. And you look around and say, I don't think anybody really understands me. Can I remind you tonight, there is someone who understands you. And that someone who understands you is the Lord, Jehovah God, because he's an omniscient God. May I tell you tonight, you say, I'm in despair. I don't know what to do. I think I'll consider suicide. No, suicide is never the option. The option is get your eyes off yourself, put your eyes on God, and realize you have an omniscient God who can see what you're going through. He said, the Lord, that's omnipotence. The Lord knoweth, that's omniscience. But then he says, for the Lord knoweth the way. Circle the words, the way, and put this beside it, omnipresent God. Omnipresent God. Get this. You may not know which way to go, but listen to me. But he already knows the way. You see, your today is his yesterday. What you're walking through right now, he's already been there. You see, he already knows the way. Why? Because John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus says. I'm the way. May I tell you, Jesus knoweth the way. May I tell you tonight, thank God, I serve a God who's an omnipresent God who does know the way that I take. I don't have to know the way. I just have to know the one who does know the way. When I used to fly airplanes, there's a time that I was flying from Needles, California to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and one of those monsoon storms came up real quick and surrounded me, and there's no airport to land the plane. All I could see ahead of me was dark clouds in front of me and behind me. The clouds in front of me, get this now, lightning was going every way inside those clouds. I'm looking at my map trying to find a way to land the plane and the type of plane I was flying. You're not going to fly over those clouds. I called Albuquerque Tower and I said, Albuquerque Tower, and I gave him my number. I said, is there any way where you can vector me through this thing? They said, we cannot see you when you're in the storm, but we'll hear your voice. Brother, I got inside that storm, and where this plane is going everywhere. Lightning, as close as that organ is to me, is that close to my plane. We hit one pocket of air where the plane dropped 1,000 feet. Violent storm. I'm just hanging on for life. My dad was sitting next to me. He had his briefcase in his lap, and when that drop hit, his briefcase hit the roof of that airplane. Had two teenage boys in the back. They started praying, said, "Oh God, we don't want to die. Oh God, we don't want to die." But listen to me. What I'm glad about God is the storm doesn't stop his navigation system from seeing where you're going. Man's systems will always fail, but God is a God who's an omnipresent God, because he's not just watching from the outside of the storm. He's watching with you in the storm and saying, "Hey, why don't you just follow me as we go through the storm together?" The Lord, omnipotent, knoweth omniscience, the way, omnipresence. But knows what he says. He knoweth the way of the righteous. Circle that phrase, of the righteous, and just put this beside it, Jehovah Jireh, God always provides. You do right, God always takes care of you. Now, the way God takes care of you may not be to your planning, but he always takes care of you. Because he knoweth the way that I take. He knoweth the way of the righteous. He knows where we're going. And sometimes I feel like we get a little martyr syndrome in our Christianity, where we feel like I'm the only one, I'm being persecuted. No, you're going through life. And you better understand, when you go through life, you've got an omnipotent God who's an omniscient God, who's an omnipresent God, who can provide for your needs no matter what you're going through. You say, "Then, preacher, what do I do? What action do I take?" I want to give you 6 actions, and I'll sit down. Number 1, focus on God. Focus on God. Listen to me. Take your eyes off your problems. Get your eyes focused on God. Why did God remind us of his omnipotence? Because he says, "I want you to see how powerful I am." Why does he focus on omniscience? He wants us to know. He knows everything. Why does he try to get us to focus on his omnipresence? Because he wants us to see, no matter where we go, no matter what we go through, he's already there. He's there right now. I'm talking to you right now. Sometimes it's so easy to, when the problems begin to scream at us, that we look at the problems of life and then you become overwhelmed. Hey, may I tell you, focus on God. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off your problem. Focus on God. Number 2, blessings only come if you continue to do right. Listen to me very carefully. He says he knows the way of the righteous. What's that? Righteous acts. Follow me very carefully. The worst thing you can do when times get tough is to stop doing the right that got the devil's attention. I cannot figure this out, Brother Baldwin. You know, as an evangelist, you didn't have to worry about some of these things, and now as a pastor, you see some of these things. People start going through problems, and the first thing they drop is church. Listen to me. Bad decision. Bad decision. Did you hear me? Bad decision. Well, I've got problems got to take care of on Sunday. Bad decision. You need to be in church on Sunday. You got to continue doing right. Why stop doing right? Preacher, I'm going through tough times. Need to stop my Sunday school class. No, you don't need to stop your Sunday school class. You need to keep on teaching your Sunday school class. Well, I think I'll just drop soul winning because, you know, I'm just going. No, no, no. The best thing you could do is go out and keep somebody out of hell. Why? Get your eyes off yourself. When I'm having a rough day, I've unplugged the phone. I'll pray a little bit, and my next action is always to go out to the street and start knocking on doors so I could tell someone about Jesus Christ. And I've always found when I get around, when I start going soul winning, I've stopped feeling sorry for myself. Because I'm doing righteous acts. Righteous acts gets God's attention. Listen to me. And too many times a hard time comes. Oh, listen to me. That lady, that her grandson, get this now. Grandson killed at 3 a.m. in the morning in church on Sunday night. She was sitting over here in church, and I said to my church, I said, I want you all to see a good Christian tonight. I said, this is real Christianity. I was preaching in Reno, Nevada years ago, and a lady whose husband was a good member of the church died on Sunday afternoon. He didn't church that morning, died that afternoon. She was in church that night. She was in church on Monday night. She was in church on Tuesday night. She's in church on Wednesday night. We get a hangnail. Oh, I think I got to stay home. I got a hangnail. No, you need to go to church with the hangnail. Listen. When you don't, the one thing you do know what to do when you don't know what to do is you know to do right. So just do right. You know you need to read your Bible every day. You know you need to pray every day. You know you need to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know you need to be faithful to the soul winning time. You know you need to be faithful to whatever duties you have in the church. Hey, just keep doing right. What do I do? What action do I take? Focus on God. Keep doing right. Three, stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Look at verse 2. He says, bless. He said, but his delight is in the what? Law of the Lord. In his law doth he what? Meditate. You know what meditate means? It means to think. You got to start. Listen, I tell people in my church often, when you're going through rough times, to say, live in the Psalms. Get in the Psalms and live in them because that's what's going to get you through your tough times. I tell them to find one Psalm every day. Find that one verse that maybe stands out to them and just memorize it and meditate on it and think on it. Get your mind thinking on the Word of God. Stop thinking about your problems. No wonder people have anxiety problems. You know why? All they do is think about the problems. Nothing gripes me more. When someone gets on Facebook and they gotta tell about how bad their day is. Instead of getting your fingers in the face on Facebook pages, you need to get your head and your eyes in the face inside of this book and get with God and say, God, I need something to think on. What's the third action? Look at verse 3. He shall be like a tree. What's the next word? Planted. Let me tell you what to do. Get planted, don't move. I'm amazed how many people jump from place to place to place to place. They think moving to a new state will stop their problems. Moving to a new state will not stop your problems. Listen to me. Your problems will catch up to you. Get planted. Stay there. Say, I'm going to plant myself right here. Where? In the will of God. You can jump from battle to battle, but listen to me, you'll never see fruit as long as you continue to jump. At some point, you need to stay there and get planted. Reason why people get disgruntled with Christianity is because they've not stayed long enough. They never got planted. They didn't stay there to see the time to go through the suffering so that fruit comes on the other side. And somewhere you just got to dig in and dig really deep and say, I'm staying here no matter what. I'm going to do right no matter what. I'm not going to quit on God no matter what. I'm staying here. Get planted. What do I do? Don't quit. Don't quit. You see what I mean? You notice in verses 4 and 5, listen, the ungodly are not so. But like the chaff which the wind driveth away, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. What's the Lord saying? He says, listen, stop looking at the world. Stop thinking that if you just quit and you go out to the world, everything's going to get better. God says, no, it's not so. They have problems themselves. And if you go sowing where I go sowing, you don't understand the world has a lot of problems. I go in these ghetto apartments called London Square. They're wanting to get out of there. Always tell my people, don't be there at nighttime. One of those places that the police park their cars there at night to try to keep it down. Don't tell me sin pays. It does, but not what you think. And some of those people have lived the life of sin and they're reaping the harvest of sin and they just keep on doing it over and over and over again. Somewhere as a believer, you just got to say, you know what? I think I'm just going to stay. I'm not going to quit. I want to get planted. I want to keep on going. I'll give you one other piece of action to take. Follow the Lord. He knows the way. Follow the Lord. Listen, I don't have to know the way as long as I know the one who is the way. I love the song. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. I don't need to know the next step. I just need to follow the one who does know the next step. Who is it? The Lord. Omnipotence. Who is it? The Lord knoweth. Omniscience. Who is it? The Lord knoweth the way. Omnipresence. Who is it? The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The Lord who provides. Jehovah Jireh. Provides. I just have to follow him. As long as I follow him, I'll be safe. I don't know what your problems are tonight. Your preacher's not asked me to preach on any certain subject. But I can guarantee it tonight in a crowd of this size, there's some people here tonight. You're going through some tough times. You got a man in my church, good man. Son's in jail. Doesn't know if he's ever going to, what's going to happen. So, Brother Dorian, just keep your eyes on the Lord. Got another family whose granddaughter just broke their heart and says it's going to be okay. You got another family, the young lady just got saved, and her husband, who grew up in a Baptist church, walked out on her the same day she got saved. I could go down the list. Sometimes you don't know the way. But I'm glad that every time I follow the Lord, He's never led me wrong. He's always been right. He's always there. Father, thank you for a reminder from Psalm 1 of who you are. Lord, I'm asking you tonight to help us tonight just to refocus back on you. Lay our burdens at the altar and just go back and focus on you, a good God, a great God, a merciful God, a long-suffering God. Help us to get focused on thee. Please bless the sermon to come, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.